This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Howlin. He's one of the employee owners at Tab. Comes in and helps me out with your computer comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online early and often if you can, kind of how they vote in Bridgeport. You'll feel free. 860-522-9842 is the number, and we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. It's 11 o'clock. We're live.
But call now. Wait till 11.
Exactly. I kind of got you that line there, didn't I? What do you want to talk about, Dennis? Anything good in the technology world?
Well, I was thinking of talking about what's going on with McDonald's.
McDonald's.
They've got two problems.
Yeah.
Not related to one another, but both technologically oriented.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah. First of all, they had a meltdown with their global inventory system.
Oh, boy.
And it didn't affect too many McDonald's here in the United States for reasons that I don't really understand, because it sounds like their global inventory system was affected and taken down.
Yep.
McDonald's in a lot of other countries, especially the UK, some of them had just had to close
because they ran out of stuff.
Yeah.
So clearly we have a lot of stuff in our local McDonald's in the freezers.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
That might be the reason.
But at any rate, you know, people were checking in on their apps to try to order stuff.
They couldn't do
it. And they weren't allowed to do it. And initially, everybody thought the problem was with the app.
Right.
It wasn't the app. It was the app was working correctly because it would figure out that there's no open McDonald's near you and you can't do it.
That's good.
So at any rate, they had a massive problem.
Yeah.
And just this morning, I saw an article where they disclosed that they had a configuration error.
Of course. Somebody made a change.
And it wasn't a cyber attack, apparently.
Right.
And they're now getting everything back up and running.
Oh, good news.
Change Healthcare is getting back up and running a month after their little debacle, which was a cyber attack. And they may have actually paid off the people that...
Yeah. $22 million of actual money that they first sent over as fake money in crypto. And I saw Blumenthal on the news today saying, we have to fix this, right? Yes, buddy. Make crypto illegal, you stop this thing from happening. It's really that simple. When you stop saying crypto's a thing, no more ransoms paid, nobody bothers attacking. It's that simple.
Yeah, well, the other problem that McDonald's, why do I confuse them?
I don't know.
It seems natural. Anyway, McDonald's is another problem.
Yeah.
For a long time, they've forced their franchisees to buy ice cream machines and milkshake makers combined from a company called Taylor.
All right.
Old contract.
And broken ice cream machines like a meme on the internet when it comes
because
to
these things break a lot.
Yes. And it's frustrating when you just want some ice cream with your Big Mac.
I know. Why can't I have a milkshake?
We had this conversation yesterday.
Oh, you did?
We were listening. I don't think they exist. I don't think they actually have ice cream machines in the building.
No, they do. So we have the story.
It's a shell of a machine to build hype. Yes.
As Paul Harvey said, here's the rest of the story there.
At any rate, the franchisees are required to get repairs from the company that makes it. They can't go to anybody else.
Right. Sounds like Apple.
One of the reasons is because the diagnostic equipment that tells you what the error codes are and what the fault is in the machine.
Right.
That puts out obfuscated information, and you can only read it if you have a way to decode that information.
Right, that you have the, what was it, the thing that they got in Christmas Story, the, you know,
oh, yeah.
Drink your Ovaltine. The little magic Annie, Rod Rider Annie. The decoder ring. Yeah, the decoder ring.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we need to fix your McDonald's ice cream machines right now.
Here's the thing. A third party came up with the decoder ring.
There it is.
And they started selling it to the franchisees. The franchisees were ordered by McDonald's not to buy these things and use them so that they couldn't go out and get these things repaired on their own. Now, what happened was...
And the franchisees have to pay McDonald's for the franchise and the property they're on. And how do you do that? In ice cream cones, man. They just want to sell a bunch of ice cream cones. All right, go ahead.
I was going to say, the result of all that was crossed lawsuits.
Right.
Where McDonald's was going after this third-party company for getting in the way of their franchisees and their... favorite contractor.
Right.
The contractor was going after them. The contractor sued McDonald's for restraint of trade for, you know, preventing us from selling our device to your franchisees. They have no authority to do that, apparently, according to their lawyers. Yeah. At any rate, finally, the FTC has weighed in.
Nice.
And they have said that McDonald's and Taylor cannot forbid the franchisees from buying these devices.
Awesome.
They have the right to repair.
That's beautiful.
And we love the right to repair.
Nice. All right, good. So now we can get our ice cream machines working. See, Joey, it is not a conspiracy other than McDonald's trying to lock in things.
Right. Yeah, tell my wife who's been trying to get one of those shakes for like 3 weeks now. Every McDonald's we go to, they're like, sorry, our machine's out of
order. She wants a Shamrock shake.
That Shamrock shake machine does not exist. It's a unicorn.
I know, man. You can't make this stuff up. It's all technology. It's like trying to get your car, you know, you get the errors coming, you get the check engine light, which could be like your car is going to blow up in 10 minutes, or it's some sort of celluloid that's gone bad. But no, you can't. You have to buy the device now. You can buy them to plug them into that port on your car and get your own answers. Or you just go to the auto parts place and they'll tell you what it means, which is like the same type of problem. In other news, Microsoft decides it's done with Azure egress ransoms. This is the headline from the Register.
Wait, wasn't that one of their big cash cows?
Of course it is. So once you put your stuff in the Azure cloud, this is Microsoft servers, and if you decide for some reason, I don't know why you might do this, you want to take your stuff out of the Azure cloud, they charge you through the nose. It's really a ransom they were calling it here as far as this article.
Well, yeah.
It's expensive.
It's a ransom.
Yeah.
There's a reason they called it that.
Do you want your data back? Pay me now. They're done with these Azure egress fees, and you'd think it'd be done out of the kindness of their hearts, but no, this is thanks to EU regulations.
Yes, let's all once again thank the EU for doing stuff that the rest of the world also should be doing, but won't.
For what we think so far, properly regulating IT and technology. They've done a much better job than we have. Why? Because most of the folks in our Congress don't understand even how to turn on a computer, let alone regulate it. We should fix this ransom thing, Blumenthal says. Yeah, we should.
Yeah.
We agree. So you're no longer going to have to pay that egress fee to get out of Azure data centers, which is a nice thing. This is the big issue with the cloud, guys. A couple things with the cloud. They can just dissipate. The cloud can go away and say, guess what? We are no longer deciding to be a cloud. Get your stuff off. You have 20 minutes to do it. Good luck. And we're going to go in a different direction. That happens all the time.
Yes.
Oh, the ERP software you purchased that actually runs your entire company that's in the cloud. Again, the company decides, you know what? I'm no longer going to use that software. Go ahead and we're going to migrate you to something else. If you don't like it, go pound sand. And then in the case of Microsoft, well, if you want to leave us, they used to charge you, they did charge you a lot of money to get your data off of their systems. So thank you to the European Data Act, the hammer behind the hyperscaler's change in heart to allow its clients to move out without paying data egress charges. Maybe that'll come to a local scenario here.
Hopefully.
We'll see. This is another one. This is kind of a cloud-related issue. Mm-hmm. Citrix. And it actually is very cloudy. So lots of companies use Citrix in their data centers so that you can remote in and run your applications in the cloud.
It's a virtualization tool, to use the IT jargon.
Yeah. And we would offer it, too, to our clients who wanted to use remote access 20 years ago. Right? Right. If you wanted to be your own cloud, which, by the way, you still can be, you would use Citrix, a terminal server, to do that. Mm-hmm. Well, Citrix, you might have remembered in past shows, has had massive data breaches. Not Citrix themselves, but companies who used it due to the Citrix bleed issue, right? Numerous ransomware attacks and hacks and data losses and huge swaths of companies being impacted by Citrix bleed. Here's the story today. claims emerge that Citrix has doubled the price of the month-to-month partner license to use Citrix. So if you're a quote-unquote partner, which means nothing in the IT world, just so you know, it means absolutely nothing. Yeah, it is a useless term.
Yes, and you can go ask Broadcom's customers about that.
Anyone. So if you're a partner of Citrix, they have decided, you know what? We're going to double your costs.
Double
them. Unless you pay for our services a year in advance. Sounds like Microsoft, don't
Yeah, it? I was going to say, didn't Microsoft do this in, a year and a half ago?
Yep, they cranked their Microsoft 365 prices by 40%, but you can save 20% if you pay us in a year in advance. That's Microsoft. So this is Citrix saying, hey, we'll watch those guys. So that's what they're doing to you, and the prices will kick in on September 1st. Good luck to you. And of course, there's lots of people upset about this. But guess what? When you put it in a cloud, you got no choice. Right. You're going to have to just pay, right? And if you don't pay, you turn it right off, like turning off your water if you don't pay your water bill. If you had your own local cloud, guess what you could do? Ignore them. But we won't go there.
And you wondered why the Reg used the word ransom in their article.
Exactly. So we'll put the link out here for you. You can read it. And again, if you're a Citrix partner, you do realize you're about to get nailed and you have to go to all your customers and say, we got two choices. I got to double your monthly costs or you're going to pay me up front.
Ouch.
Yeah. It's just not right. Now, just ironically, this is how we used to do things 20 years ago. When you sold an antivirus product or you sold a product in general, you would sell a one-year license, right? And then all these companies said, well, let's do it monthly because it's more scalable, manageable, and what have you. And now they're going back and saying, well, if you want to do that, we're going to double your price. Because Citrix says it's just too much of a burden to deal with monthly agreements. They want to just know it annually. They want their money up front and move on. So good luck, guys out there who run Citrix. If you weren't upset enough about all your customers getting nailed by their product, now you got to pay for it in double.
Yeah, and now that's after this almost the same thing happened to VMware's customers.
Exactly. So welcome to the cloud, my friend. It's what it is. We're going to step out for a quick break. We got three lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. We're here till 11 o'clock. We'll be right back.
From the Carter Mario Injury Lawyer Studios, visit GetCarter.com. That's GetCarter.com. This is Computer Talk with Tab.
And we are back. We're here till 11. Get online, guys, if you'd like. 860-522-9842 is the number. Happy to chat with you about any computer problem, comment, or concern you might have. And there's plenty of them.
Oh, very, very, very many.
Many much. Let's go on to your calls. We're going to go to Melody in Weathersfield first. What's happening, Melody?
Hi. So yesterday I was using my desktop Dell computer. I typed in to Google Amazon, and I clicked on the first link that popped up, and immediately pop-ups came up and saying that my network had been hacked and called a Microsoft support number. And so I called the number. And so I spoke to this woman who told me that the network had been hacked and that I needed to download this software called UltraViewer to protect the network and do a scan on the computer. And so I did that.
Oh, Melody.
I know. And then it generated a report for the computer, which then said at the bottom of it everything that the hackers had done, which was purchase, hijack our banking information and purchase child pornography and all this stuff. And so she advised me that she could transfer me on a secure line to my bank's fraud department.
No. Okay. Oh. Please tell me you didn't go that far.
Well, that's not why I'm calling.
Wait, did you go that far?
Unfortunately, yes.
Oh, Melody. Oh. All right, tell us a story so people can hear why what not to do, but go ahead. And I'm not, it's just an interesting story. Go ahead.
And so from there, I'm now talking to somebody else, but and I'm not on the computer anymore. And so the computer was not unplugged for like an hour or so.
All right, so they were on the machine for an hour.
So I'm just wondering what to do next about the computer. It was unplugged, and we haven't touched it since. I just have some questions about the computer.
Well, okay, so here's what happened to you. I mean, if you Google anything, you type in Amazon, there's going to be misspelled sponsored links out there because literally the bad guys are making so much money that they'll pay Google to advertise this malicious link. And so you kind of fell for a trick, as I'm sure you're aware, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. It's okay. We're all human, right? We make these mistakes. But your call is going to help hopefully other people. So you clicked on the link. It seemed like, I'm going to a trusted company like Amazon, and Amazon's telling me that I've got some sort of problem. Call here. This must be legitimate. That's exactly what the bad guys are doing. And they are very sophisticated as far as how far they'll go, to the point where they're going to try to get into your bank account, which hopefully they did not do, correct?
No, correct.
Okay, good. So all the stuff they ran on you is all bogus. All right. None of the things they listed that said you were doing this or that was all bogus, unless they loaded stuff on your machine anyways on top of it, which they might have. They might have loaded back doors. They might have loaded software that gives them the ability to remote in the future. They might have loaded what are called key loggers that will give them access to your bank in the future because they'll watch you type in your password.
Right.
That's what a key logger is. So you really can't trust your computer right now.
Hmm.
So we'd run. Have you run Malwarebytes as a thing?
Oh, there are a couple things that I want to suggest before she does that.
All right. So Dennis has got some more ideas.
Okay. Number one, power the computer up, but disconnect it from any network.
Right. Turn off Wi-Fi.
A little while, it's going to be standalone. Okay.
Yeah. Air-gapped.
Right. Now,
okay.
Second thing. Go to another computer that is online,
right?
And you're going to download something called Revo Uninstaller. And we will post a link to that so that you can go get that. You're going to take that. You're going to download their installer file, put it on a USB stick, walk it over to your own computer, plug it in, install it. Then you're going to open Revo Uninstaller, and you're going to remove whatever it is they call UltraViewer, okay? And UltraViewer is something that these scammers really like for some reason. I've seen it
everywhere.
Several times in this condition.
Yeah.
And then it sounds like we're going to have to break soon. At any rate, you're going to uninstall that, reboot the computer. Then you're going to go get a copy of Malwarebytes.
From the other machine.
Right. From the other machine that's still online. Copy that installer using the same USB stick.
Yep.
Run that on your computer.
On
the infected one. Let it find what it wants, remove it. Then reboot it so that it clears everything out. Then you can connect that computer online, open Malwarebytes a second time and have it run. And the reason for that is it will now be able to update its definitions.
Yeah.
And it will get even more information about what could be there. And then you remove that stuff.
We're going to put you on hold, Melody, and we'll go over it again. Okay. We have to go to a news break.
Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome. All right, guys. We'll be right back.
Trust us. You don't want to ask Alexa what 10 to the power of 308 is, but you could ask her to play WTIC News Talk 1080. That's safe.
And we are back, and we're talking with Melody, who's had an unfortunate link that took her down quite a rabbit hole. You still there, Melody?
Yes.
So Dennis kind of rattled off a lot of stuff there before the break and talked about things you can do to kind of start the process of cleaning up this mess. Did you have any questions on what he rattled off?
Yeah, so, well, is any of this able to be put in a link for the show afterwards?
We were just talking about that, and we're going to come up with something that we can send out or your post so that people can refer to it.
And we did get your email, so we're going to respond to you directly.
We'll be sending you the complete directions that I was talking about.
Okay, thanks so much.
Yeah, not a problem.
So going forward, now you're never going to do this again, but try to configure OpenDNS. That'll be part of our recommendations. And OpenDNS, as Dennis and I are kind of talking off air, may or may not have protected you because it depends on how new this link was. But if you were running OpenDNS, it probably would not have let you click on the bad Amazon link.
Or you would have clicked it and then you would have gotten a message about it instead of actually going to their site.
Right.
What's OpenDNS?
So OpenDNS is a web filter. So basically, it filters out the bad parts of the internet. Right now, Google, you'd think they'd do a better job for us. They don't. You'd think their motto used to be do no harm. We're not so sure. So you would think they would have their own understanding of the bad sites that they're referencing on Google, and they don't seem to care as much as they should. They're trying to get better, they say, but there's tons of third parties out there that have to exist because Google will simply present the links to you. And so if you are presented with a link that is malicious and you try to click on it, you can't go there. That's why we provide this to our business clients to reduce the chances of this type of thing happening. There's plenty of things that could have happened to you. This was just one that did. So running OpenDNS is basically telling your router and your computer, don't use the DNS provided by your internet service provider. DNS is domain name service. And basically, it translates IP addresses. So Amazon has a public IP address, which is literally think of it as their front door to their company. And it's a public address that is connected to the word Amazon. DNS translates that. And if you use DNS from your internet provider is just as bad as Google. They don't care where you go. They'll let you go anywhere. And so you would use this web filter to save you from going to those sites. And if you implement it on your router, everyone who comes into your home, whether it be your family, your friends, your kids, whatever it might be, is going to be quote unquote subjected to a safer internet. How nice.
Is that an extension or?
It's not an extension. It's basically you're going to tell your computer, and we'll put links up there for you and we'll send them in your email. You're going to tell your computer, instead of using the DNS provided by your internet service provider, you're going to use more safe DNS IPs, and that will mask or obfuscate the bad sites by default, the malicious sites by default that they know about. You can also configure it to filter out other types of sites that you may not be proud people go to on your internet, right? So you can eliminate whole categories of the interwebs if you'd like to using this, and it's all free. It's been free for a very, very, very long time. I'm sure we're the commodity about that, but that's a whole other issue. I'd rather take a safer internet than not.
As I understand it, what Cisco gets out of that is intelligence.
That's cool.
The more people have it, the more intelligence they can collect about what these sites are, you know, which ones are bad and all of that. And then because they sell their own security products to businesses, that's where they get their money back.
I like that model.
As far as I know, and I'm as much a skeptic as you are, if not more,
I think that's what it's about.
I think it's about getting people into this system so that they learn more about what's out there at any given moment.
Right. So I'm sorry this happened to you. Hopefully your story will help save somebody else from not having this happen to them.
Yeah, I do have a couple other questions before I go.
Sure.
So we also unplugged the Wi-Fi network, but I had a question about other devices that were connected to the Wi-Fi, if they're compromised potentially or not.
Probably not.
I don't imagine that. I think what these people were after was your financial information.
Yeah.
And they might leave behind, you know, Eric said maybe a keylogger or something. That's what we're kind of worried about. But there's nothing. getting into your other devices and your network isn't going to help them do any of that.
No.
Would they bother? It's really the point.
We've had stories and we've had callers even. Basically, the bad guys got to the point where they convinced you, the person like you, that they were now working with the FBI in an attempt to capture them, the bad guys. And then they would tell you to go to the bank with them on the phone and have you withdraw money or withdraw cash that you would then walk over to a crypto ATM machine that would then convert that $10,000 to $15,000 into. And you're all under the guise that you were helping the FBI capture the bad guys while you're paying the bad guys in fake money. So you didn't get that far, right, Melody?
No.
Good. So no, your Wi-Fi is not compromised. That's not really it is a compromisable thing, but it's probably not what they did.
Okay. That's good to know. Mm-hmm. When it comes to banking stuff, how should we go about dealing with our banking information? Like, should everything be frozen immediately?
Well, it depends. It depends on how much they had time on your system, right? So who knows what their process is? And I'm not exactly sure what their process is exactly. You know, did they go into your email and try to figure out contacts and stuff like that? They probably did. You know, but they didn't get your email password, right? So they might have done some research on you. They might have tried to see any documents they could find. Most likely they did load a keylogger on there or some sort of tool that'll help get them back on again or capture that information. Freezing things is probably not necessary. Clean up their machine. You could change passwords on anything you have just to be extra safe and secure. Make sure you turn on 2FA on anything important like banking or financial information to get that second factor turned on. Make sure your 2FA is turned on for your email accounts as well too.
Okay.
Because you had bad guys banging around your computer.
So even if I had some, say, banking login saved on the computer.
Oh no, you did?
Well, if I had logged into the banking account before and might have saved the login.
No, you could have saved him in the cache, right?
Yeah.
They might have taken that.
I don't know. It's typically encrypted.
Right.
But if they actually load the site.
Right.
In the browser, then the browser might display the password.
Yeah, so go ahead and change your passwords. I do know a lot of younger folks, and you do sound a little younger, document their passwords on Word files or what have you right there in the computer, and they literally call it passwords. they don't call it, you know, Aunt Millie's famous cookie recipe. They call it passwords. So, you know, if you're
that's
one of,
not that bad.
Yeah, but I see it on kids doing it with their phones. They put it in notepads and stuff like that. Oh, I'm just going to put my passwords over here. Okay. Not smart, but okay. Good. You didn't do that. So yeah, change your passwords is good. It's good practice anyways. Go ahead and write them, make them complicated, write them down on note cards and make sure 2FA is configured and follow the instructions that Dennis is going to send you to try to help you clean up the situation.
Thank you. So it's not worth the. I shouldn't have to worry about getting a whole new computer, right? I can manage cleaning it off thoroughly.
Correct. You shouldn't have to worry, but it'll always be that. Like when people get have their house broken into, they always kind of feel icky, right? They always feel violated, and you're going to feel the same way when it comes to your computer, right? You're never going to quite trust it anymore. But if you run these tools, Malwarebytes should find most of the malicious stuff that would have possibly been loaded on there. They don't even have to do anything very technical. They're just using basic tools. They're just using social engineering to trick you into calling them and letting them in. You know, if you ever watched the old Saturday Night Live with the Landshark?
No, I haven't seen it.
Go YouTube Landshark, Saturday Night Live. This is what they're doing. And they're just letting, you know, people are just letting them in because they're just being tricked by the bad guys on the other side of the door. So don't be so trusting. You got to be more of a cynic, Melody.
I know. This has really taught me a lot.
Yeah. We're all right up against the bad guys and the good guys on the internet. You know, the internet has brought us ridiculously close to one another, whereas you would avoid a certain bad neighborhood or what have you. Now that neighborhood, which is in Uzbekistan, is right up against your door. And without putting in a good firewall, without putting in web filtration, you're going to walk out that door and you're going to run into some real bad people.
So aside from the open DNS, do you recommend like any other safeguards like we can put on the computer going forward?
Windows Defender is pretty good. It's free and it's included.
Yeah, okay. And at the moment, we don't know if perhaps some of the keyloggers and stuff that they might have tried to have loaded could have been blocked by Defender.
Right.
We found computers, you know, after the fact, we'll see in the, some of the logs in Defender that it actually quarantined something.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't necessarily see it in real time. Right. And it can be really good at that.
So those are the two things. OpenDNS, Windows Defender, and then think before you click.
Yeah, right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Melody. Good luck.
Thank you.
There, bye-bye. You know, it's a common story. We hear it enough times. Got to be safe out there. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Feel free to get back online. 860-522-9842 is the number. No matter where you are in the country, or even if you're going to call from Uzbekistan, I think the price is the same if you use a cell phone. We'll be right back. Yes, the Landshark Aider. Take California. We'll be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. I love that little bit. That's how I see the bad guys out there, right? Literally. And we're so gullible. You're like, I didn't order a plumber. Telegram. I think they did one. Pizza. Oh, pizza. Yeah, come on in. You just love the music in the background. Donna, Donna, Donna. So yeah, now the bad guys literally are just doing the same thing to us day in and day out. And the problem is you trust your computer too much. And it's not helpful with Microsoft and other companies with all the nagging posts they give us and all those pop-ups they give us to say, do this and do that. We've been conditioned to listen to the computer when it says, hey, you've been compromised. I'm sorry. Just to give you an idea, the computer doesn't know when it's compromised. There's not a whole lot of technologies out there that are going to say it, where the computer itself says, hey, I'm compromised. Or a third party says, your computer is compromised. It would have to only be the security product you're using if you want to have any trust in that. But third-party links like Amazon might know everything you bought in the past month, but they do not know whether your computer's been compromised. The moment that happens, I don't know, we're in trouble. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. We have some CISA news.
Really?
So, yeah, sadly.
One of our favorite agencies. What could have happened to them?
Yeah, I mean, CISA started in 2018 because somebody realized we probably need an agency to deal with cybersecurity. And I tend to agree. We do. We need an agency. Now, again, government doesn't do anything really well. But at least the idea here with CISA is to try to help and help us as businesses and entities, especially critical infrastructure, think more about cybersecurity. Because for some reason, the federal government can't stop making crypto a thing. They'd rather have us work on all the cybersecurity stuff that's making this all be a thing because of crypto. But I digress. So in this case, CISA confirms it was breached. Yes, CISA, the company, the agency out there to help us not get breached was breached themselves by attackers using Ivanti flaws. Basically, Ivanti is some sort of secure VPN appliance. And it itself had vulnerabilities. And then the bad guys leveraged the vulnerabilities to try to get into CISA. And CISA says that it was limited to two systems, which they immediately took offline.
Ooh.
Now, when I think of two systems, is it two computers?
Or is it servers?
Two whole systems that deal with thousands of computers?
Is it a network of computers? Yeah, I mean, who knows?
So they shared no further details. The publication spoke to an anonymous source, though, familiar with the matter. We love anonymous sources. Who claimed that the systems breached. So again, CISA, the company, the agency involved in security, has an anonymous source that they then leak to the press that says the systems breached and subsequently turned off included the infrastructure protection gateway. A gateway is a pretty big system.
Yep.
And the chemical security assessment tool. I'm not sure. I mean, that's a CSAT, they call it. So that's not that important. But the gateway does sound kind of big. And again, so this is the issue, right? So all the technologies and tools that we implement for companies and customers and what have you are using all sorts of products and tools and services from other companies. And when these independent tools get compromised, as in the case of SolarWind, which was an attack right there on the whole infrastructure of the industry directly, then everyone gets compromised. We've seen this with Kaseya. We've seen this with all sorts of tools that are out there helping manage systems. Barracuda, I mean, oh my goodness, the Barracuda systems were a mess recently. I talked about Citrix Bleed. Now poor Sys is impacted by the VPN technology they used for accessing the systems. So, yes, it's ironic. I don't wish them any ill will. We have to talk about it. And of course, CISA will be the first to tell you who was compromised on the other side of the equation.
Well, so. And to their credit, they're disclosing it.
They are. I just don't like to hear the anonymous, you know, they shared no further details, but they talked to an anonymous source familiar with the matter. I mean, that in news, I mean, I don't even want to participate in that, but it's right here on this news story. And yeah, maybe I shouldn't have participated in it, but they told us that it was the Infrastructure Protection Gateway that was turned off, which kind of makes sense considering VPN, it probably was the primary entrance point. So we'll see what happens with this. Let's hope they are locked down good. And just understand that if CISA can get breached, anybody can be breached. And we can always just go back to pen and paper like Jimmy Carter said to do. And that's what they're having to do with the change people.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, literally. And it's terrible.
Yeah. So feel free to get online, guys. Four lines wide open. 860-522-9842 is the number. I got some more news for you. NASA, they're being delayed. Their missions are being delayed.
What?
Now, not because they don't have a rocket and they have to borrow Elon's, but because they are oversubscribed, they're overburdened, and they're out-of-date supercomputers.
What?
The flagship facility has just 48 GPUs. 48!
48.
This is NASA.
Ooh.
Yeah. So they've got a department that is called the High End Computing Department, otherwise known as HEC, H-E-C. And of course, those are HEC operations. So they're hiccups, not hiccups, but hiccups.
They're hiccups.
They're having hiccups in their hiccups.
And it's a heck of a place, right?
Exactly.
Boom, boom.
So they spend $250,000 a year rather than waiting to access the existing resources because the existing resources are so old. So, I mean, it's kind of funny when you think of NASA and all the money they spent billions and billions to get us to the moon. But it seems like they haven't updated their computer systems in quite some time. So some of those missions are being delayed thanks to the fact that they do not have enough IT technology. Now, we just came up with a CHIPS Act, right, so that we could actually have improve our chips business. And maybe that could help here where the folks at Intel help the hiccups with their hiccups. And we'll put the link up here for you guys. But NASA's kind of – they might have a golden toilet up in the Space Center there, but they don't have enough computers to run their missions. So feel free to get online. Everything's been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. Dennis is posting it right while we talk on the show about any links that we talk about. Mike G's posting everything over on our Facebook page over at the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network. If you want to join that, just send us a note and you can join that group. And then, of course, Mike G's also posting it on X.
Yep.
Believe it or not, Elon's coming up with a token. He's going to have his own cryptocurrency next.
Yeah. Didn't he have one already called Dogecoin or something?
Yeah, Dogecoin. I don't know. I think he just promoted Dogecoin.
Oh, okay.
But now he's going to have his own coin because, heck, why not?
Right. Because everybody who's worth anything in technology has a coin,
why
right?
Why not? Yeah. So it all gets to if you follow us on X, it's going to get to your X app. We'll be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.